Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu ma manusmara yudhyacha mayarpata mano buddhir ma me vaishasya sangshaya. Tasmat, therefore, this proceeds from the previous verse, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chetachyante kalevana tam tam evaiti kanteya saratad bhava bhavita. Whatever one thinks of at the time of death determines one's next lifetime. Therefore, one had better think of Krishna. Maharaj Bharat thought of a deer at the time of death and became a deer. There are so many things one might think of. And as Srila Prabhupada explained in the previous purport, what we think of during our life influences what we think of at the end of our life. Therefore, sarveshu kaleshu, we should always think of Krishna, not wait that Krishna consciousness is for old men. When I'm old, I'll take up Krishna consciousness. We may not become old. An old man is a man who's going to die soon. Any one of us might be old. We don't know. Apart from that, even if we become old, in old age, how strong is the mind, how strong is the will? We may, you know, by that time be too comfortable or too infirm or whatever, and have difficulty. Now I put it off till the end, and at the end it's too late. Tasmat, therefore, sarveshu kaleshu, always one should think of Krishna. Always means when things are going difficult and when things are going well. Death is extremely difficult. At the time of death, everything is in disarray. The bodily situation is disturbed. Therefore, it becomes more difficult. That prayer is there by Maharaj Kulashekar. Who knows that prayer? Krishna tadiya panjarantam advaitame vishatamana saraja hamsa prana prayana samay kapavata pittai kanta radana vidau smaranam kutaste kapavata vittai. The kapa pitta and vayu are disturbed at the time of death. Therefore it's more difficult. So, we have to practice now. We have to practice now. Just like in the army, it's going to be difficult when the enemy is shooting at you, when everything is in disarray. So, one has to practice for dear life before getting on the battlefield. Because it will be difficult. The student has to practice before the test. So when there's difficulty, we have to practice relying on Krishna. We have to train our mind in such a way to think of Krishna during difficulties. And during times of good fortune also. Because sometimes it may be that someone in difficulty remembers Krishna, and when everything is all right, now I don't need to remember Krishna anymore. Everything's all right. That's not good. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, in many places, it's said that one should be equipoised in happiness and distress. In distress, one should think of Krishna. In happiness also, one should remember Krishna. And in between, one should remember Krishna. In difficulty, I have to depend on Krishna and be confident that Krishna will protect me. Krishna will maintain me. And in happiness, I have to remember that it's by Krishna's grace that I've got something for my happiness. And I have to remember that happiness and distress in this material world ultimately have no substantial meaning. The happiness and distress are both two sides of the same coin of illusion. Material distress is ultimately illusion, because I'm not this body. Then what is the meaning of distress for the soul? And because I'm not this body, what is the meaning of bodily happiness for the soul? It's also illusion. So one has to practice sarveshu kaleshu. Or sarveshu kaleshu means starting from early in the morning when getting up, one should chant Hare Krishna and first think of Krishna. Not think of all other things. And then someplace later in the day, maybe think of Krishna. But from the very beginning, that time is valuable. One should rise early in the morning and begin chanting Hare Krishna, chanting mantras to glorify Krishna, thinking of Krishna. Then performing prescribed duties for spiritual advancement. The morning time is especially meant for spiritual activities. Before everything starts getting crazy. More or less, life in Dubai is crazy. Like life in New York or life almost anywhere. It's crazy. Once the day starts, everything starts going this way and that way. Lots of things demand our attention. So, before all that gets started up, as we know it will, we should reserve some time, especially for concentration of the mind on Krishna, for chanting with concentration, for hearing something of Krishna philosophy or Krishna's pastimes, from Bhagavad Gita as it is, or Srimad Bhagavatam, for offering obeisances to the deity, worshipping the deity, worshipping Tulsi. In this way, the morning time, some as far as possible, we should first fix our mind on Krishna. And when the mind is fixed, then in the rest of the day, we already have our direction. Just like sometimes we want to do something. So the first thing is we fix our mind, and then we go, I'm going to make a business deal. So before I go make the deal, I fix my mind that no matter what, I'm not going to go below this price. I don't wait to get there and see what happens. I fix my mind beforehand that whatever, if he goes below that price, I'll say, I'm sorry, sir. I fix my mind. Or anything I want to do. But first I fix my mind with determination. Then I go out and do it. Or, in the course of a day, first we fix our schedule. And then we execute. We make a plan, even the night before, that tomorrow I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this. And then you don't even have to wonder what you're going to do. Your plan is fixed. And then you have to simply follow your plan. So the morning, first thing, we should make our plan. My plan is that I'll somehow or other think of Krishna. I'll spend my beginning of the day in my chanting and hearing as far as possible. And then throughout the day, even suppose if I have some quota of rounds, I know I can't finish first thing, then I make my plan that such and such time I'll reserve. But those such and such times have funny things happen to them sometimes. So morning time is still better, because then it's settled. So morning time, then offering prasadam and taking, honoring prasadam, remembering that there's prasadam, Krishna Bharadoyamoy, Krishna is so nice. He's given this nice prasadam. And then while working also, I have to think of Krishna. Mam anusmara. Sarveshu kaleshu. Thinking of Krishna while I'm working means that although I'm attentive to my affairs, my heart is with Krishna and I'm thinking of Krishna. Just like a man is working, or here in Dubai so many people come and they're working and they're sending money back to Kerala or Chennai or wherever it is. Huh? So they're working, they're not neglecting their business, But while working, they're thinking about their family in Kerala or Chennai or wherever. Because that's why they're working. If it weren't out of affection and duty toward their family members, they wouldn't work, they wouldn't bother, they wouldn't even be here. So they naturally think that, well, by working I'll get money, and this money I'll send as much as possible back home. If I get some opportunity, maybe for working overtime, that's good, because I can... They're not thinking just money, but they're thinking this money is for my wife, my children. So they're always thinking of their family. They're always thinking of their family. Similarly, I have to think that actually I'm working for Krishna's satisfaction. I'm working for Krishna's satisfaction. Therefore, a worker is advised that you give some portion directly for the service of the deity and the devotees, so that one will think that I'm employed in Krishna's business. And one should think also that my household affairs, my family, they also are belong to Krishna. And I'm like the caretaker of the house. I've been given the responsibility to act on Krishna's behalf. And in that way, again, he thinks of Krishna. And sometime he takes his lunch and remembers again that Krishna is so kind. At evening, takes again something. And in the evening, as far as possible, again, one should reserve the time for chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, reading something about Krishna, spiritual activities. The ideal example is Swayambhuva Manu. In the third canto, we read about Swayambhuva Manu, who happened to be the father of Devahuti, therefore grandfather of Lord Kapildev. He was always busy in Krishna's affairs, although he was a big Manu. Manu is in charge of administration. But he was always engaged in thinking of Krishna. He molded his activities in such a way. And at night, he would take rest, hearing the glories of the Lord. Even the deity in the temple, he takes rest hearing his own glories. So, we shouldn't take rest like that, hearing our own glories. We should hear about Krishna. There are so many... books. It used to be the practice in all the villages in India that they would gather in the evening and hear Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, especially Bhagavatam, Ramayana, hear about the pastimes of the Lord. That's advancement. Now everyone gathers around the television and they see, hear some rubbish and fill the mind with trash. But that happens during the day, there's enough trash. So in the evening, one should again clear the mind by hearing and chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they were performing nocturnal kirtan. In the evening, they would get together and chant Hare Krishna. So in the evening time, we should. And there are so many also tapes and CDs, so that you can hear something. It's made, the technology is meant for that, for being used for Krishna consciousness. But we can hear something, Krishna's message. Sarveshu Kaleshu. Then at night also, because all day long you've been hearing about Krishna, or thinking about Krishna, serving Krishna, then at night also you'll think about Krishna. Therefore, Sarveshu Kaleshu, 24 hours a day, we should mold our life in such a way that we'll think of Krishna. Maha Manusma. Maha means Krishna. Not impersonal Brahma, not Kali, not this, not that, Devi, Shiva. Krishna. Of course, Krishna means with his devotees. We were discussing yesterday. Lord Shiva is appearing in Srimad Bhagavatam. Devi is appearing. So many. But they're all in relationship to Krishna. So we can That's all right. We may think of so many things, but we should think of them in relationship with Krishna. Mamanusmi. And we should think of Krishna in relationship with his devotees. Mam anusma. Anu means always, and anu means following. Anusmara means that we should think of Krishna by following in the footsteps of the spiritual master and the great devotees of Krishna. Not that we invent some new way of thinking of Krishna. We should think of Krishna as we've been instructed by the great authorities. We should follow in their footsteps. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates and followers, they've taught us to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It said, Anusmara, think of Krishna. But chanting is thinking. Thinking simply by silent meditation is not recommended in the Kali Yuga. This chanting is the best way of thinking. You don't have to separately do something to the mind to try to coerce it into thinking of Krishna. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna and hearing, the mind becomes fixed. So Krishna is saying, think of me. And Krishna again, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is demonstrating how to think of Krishna. He's setting the ideal example of thinking of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna with full pava-pavata. Sanatad pava-pavata. He's always remembering Krishna with great love. With great love. Priti-purvaka. Priti-purvaka. With love for Krishna. So we should follow in the footsteps. The chanting of Hare Krishna is not simply a musical performance or a pious activity. It's actually the means. It's actually the means for developing love of Krishna. Kolokera premadhan harinam shanti. The chanting is coming from the spiritual sky to give us the opportunity to get the treasure of love for Krishna. Premadhan. This is the method for thinking of Krishna with love. Again, we think of our family members out of love. When love is there, we think of our business associates sometimes, but when there's love, then you go on thinking, go on thinking, go on thinking, go on thinking. So we want to develop some love for Krishna, some appreciation for Krishna. More than appreciation. The beginning is at least appreciation. The demons don't even appreciate. Krishna is giving them everything. Light, air, water, food, strength, intelligence, everything is coming from Krishna. And what do they do with what Krishna gives them? They use all of their acquired strength for saying that God is dead, there's no God, I'm independent, I can do what I like. Why are people so foolish that they're dedicating themselves to some God? It's all sentiment. That means ungrateful. Ungrateful. But a devotee has gratitude. Krishna is so kind, he's giving everything. So naturally he goes on appreciating the presence of Krishna. Krishna is describing in the Bhagavad Gita, Rasoham Apsukanti, Pravasmi Sashisuri. I'm the taste of the water. So the devotee appreciates all the water is so exceptionally nice. So that taste of the water is Krishna. Prabhasmi Sashi Surya, the moonlight and the sunlight are coming from Krishna. So he's appreciating. He's appreciating. With love. when we love someone, then we appreciate what that person does. And Krishna is the ultimate object of love and appreciation. So, anusmaran, we should always think of Krishna by following in the footsteps of the great devotees of Krishna. We may not have love for Krishna, but if we follow those who have love for Krishna, then we'll also develop love for Krishna by following. It's like if we follow greedy men, then we develop greed also by association and by treading on their path. We develop the same mentality, greedy mentality. So we want to follow in the footsteps of those who are greedy for Krishna consciousness, who are obsessed with Krishna consciousness, who are absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Mam anusmara yudhyacharat. The example here is Arjuna. He is filled with love for Krishna. It didn't mean, doesn't mean that he has to be like a sentimentalist. Like a sentimentalist. He's acting in love for Krishna. Yudhyacha. He didn't want to fight. The fighting was horrible. I have to face my grandfather, I have to face my Guru Maharaj, I have to face my cousin brothers, I have to face so many friends and fight against them and kill them. So Arjuna was totally dukkaturam. Of course, Krishna said totally, but he's thinking, this is worse than death. Better that I live by begging than to fight against my friends and family members. It was not at all something he was eager for. But he's fighting out of Krishna consciousness, out of obedience to Krishna and out of love for Krishna. And Krishna wants me to fight, I'll fight. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Karishye Vachanamita. What you say, I'll do. What you say, I'll do. Oh, he's thinking of Krishna. Otherwise, one becomes entangled. Simply fighting. Arjuna was saying that if I fight, Papa Meva Shreya Dasman. What is that? Someone knows? Papa Meva Shreya Dasman. Papa meva shreya ashreya asman hatvaitan atatayanaha. The sin will overtake us for this ghastly business of fighting. So, from one point of view, that's a fact. When I act for my own sense gratification, I become entangled. Lokoyam karma bandhan. I become entangled. Simply fighting, simply acting, I'll become entangled with the by the results of my action. Then the responsibility is all on me. But when one thinks of Krishna and acts, then one is freed from all reactions. Karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhavana. In the Brahma Sangita it said, Yastrindra gopa matavendra maho shakarma bandhana rupa palabhajana matana. From Indra down to Indra gop, the tiny germ, everyone is bound by the results of his own actions. Yastrindra gopa matavendra maho shakarma pantanu rupa palabhajana mati karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhava. But when one is engaged in the service of Krishna, all the results of past activities are burned down to the root. Why not? Some people can move up and people who are in the back can come in. Especially this middle section is. You know. So this is the key to acting in such a way that one will not be entangled. Padma patram ivambasam. One becomes like the lotus leaf floating on the water. It's not getting soggy and sinking. It's just floating on the top. It's on the water, but it's not in the water. So the person who's always thinking of Krishna, even while he's killing, he's not killing. He knows that actually everything is happening by the energy of Krishna. And I only have to do my duty in the service of Krishna. If I'm serving Krishna, then I'm not responsible. Not responsible for any reactions. Not that I just do any nonsense and say I'm serving Krishna, but if I'm actually following the order of Krishna, then there's no sinful reaction. Just if I shoot someone with a gun, they don't arrest the gun. They arrest me because I'm the person responsible. So if one is simply acting as an instrument of Krishna, then Krishna takes the responsibility. Krishna takes the responsibility. And he protects the devotee. No, I'll... Mamevaye prapajyanta. Mayam etam. You'll be transcendental to you. So, mam anusmara yujyajam. Krishna consciousness is not simply loafing. And now I'll give up all duties, I'll simply wander around and think of Krishna. That's not recommended. I'll do that for a little while, then I'll say, oh, let me think of... Thinking of Krishna is so nice, what else is there to think about? The mind will wander. Therefore, anusmana. One has to follow in the footsteps of great authority. Srila Prabhupada emphasized many times that one should not try to imitate Sukadeva Goswami, Haridas Thakur, go off to some secluded place and try to, give up our duties and become pseudo-meditators. No. We have to carry out our prescribed duty. Arjuna was a fighter, so it was his duty to fight. Someone is a farmer, it's his duty to farm. Someone's a Brahmin, it's his duty to teach. Someone's a Shudra, it's his duty to help others. Someone's a Brahmachari, someone's a Grahastha, someone's a Vanaprastha, someone's a Sannyasi. We all have our duties to perform. So we have to perform those prescribed duties, mamanusma, and remember Krishna. Those two things. The consciousness should be on Krishna at the same time that I'm performing my work. You know the example given by Srila Rupa Goswami that there's some woman who has a lover apart from her husband. So she's doing her housework very nicely, with great attention, diligence, so that the husband won't suspect what's going on. But within herself, she's always thinking of when will I meet my lover, when will we get together. So that's lover consciousness in the material world. So the same thing is possible on the spiritual platform. But while performing one's prescribed duties, one is always absorbed in thinking of Krishna. And then, practically speaking, the material activities are conducted even hardly thinking of it. Prabhupada gives the example, a man is going to the file cabinet. He's a businessman, executive, so while he's on the phone, he's opening the file, he's pulling up some documents, he's putting it up in the file cabinet again, closing the cabinet. During the day, so many... If you ask him, how many times did you open and close the file cabinet during the day? He can't tell you. He's just doing it automatically. Not that he's thinking, now I have to open the file cabinet, now I have to take out this paper, now with great concentration I have to close the file cabinet. It's going on. So the Krishna, but he's really thinking about how to close the deal, how to make, you know, big profit, or whatever it might be. So the Krishna conscious person, he's carrying on his external duties, but his mind is always fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. He doesn't invest unnecessary energy absorbing himself in the material thought. He keeps himself aloof from all that. Not simply by force, I won't think of this, I won't think of that. Sometimes mental control is also required. I'm not going to, that thought is not good. One has to order the mind. You nonsense. But then the mind will say, alright, you want me to stop thinking of that, so now what do you want me to do? Just sit here and do nothing? Like trying to tell a child, now sit in the corner and do nothing. Stop your nonsense. You just sit there. The child will immediately find some new nonsense. Just like Krishna. As soon as he was in trouble, that causing some mischief, then he would be chastised, oh, you're causing mischief, then he would think, now do some more mischief. Child's mentality, it's always to find some newer and newer form of troublemaking. First he plays with your keys and makes a racket, and then you take the keys away and he starts banging on, pulling down the draperies, and then you take him away from the draperies and he starts doing something. Because the child must always be active. The mind is also active by nature. Vayuriva Shadushkara, simply trying to stop the mind is like trying to stop a hurricane. So the mind has to be engaged positively. The mind will say, well, give me something. All right. You think of Krishna. There's so many subject matters. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. The thinking of Krishna. Mamanusma. Thinking of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti will be very difficult because there's nothing to think about. No form, no qualities, no name, no pastimes, no anything. So how will we think of something like that? It's simply theoretical and klesha tikadrasya. It's very troublesome. Impractical. But Krishna we can think of on and on and on and on and on. So mamanusmara. Krishna never advises Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, you just think of something impersonal. Mamanusmara, think of me. And that's better than thinking of the Brahma Jyoti, even if it were possible to fix the mind on the impersonal Brahma. Brahmano hi pratishtaham, Krishna is the origin of the impersonal Brahma. So one is thinking of the ultimate entity when one is thinking of Krishna. Mata parataram nanyat kinchidasti. There's nothing superior to Krishna. So, maya arpita mano bhutir. One should fix one's mind and intelligence on Krishna. Sometimes we think that if a person is becoming Krishna conscious, then he's like giving up his intelligence. He's not using his, now he's just going to be like a sentimental follower. And too bad, he had a good intelligence, but now he's just ditched it to become a sentimentalist. But that's not a fact. The devotee is using his intelligence. First of all, just that he's surrendering to Krishna is the best use of intelligence. The mudha, or maya pratigyana, the duskriti, miscreant, is misusing his intelligence. He's got good intelligence, and he's racing around 100 miles an hour with his intelligence, coming up with newer and newer reasons why he shouldn't waste his time with Krishna consciousness. But he's misusing his intelligence. He's using his intelligence to improve is eating and sleeping and mating and defending. It requires intelligence, or the intelligence is employed like that, but that's animal intelligence. Like the cat is in the kitchen, and it doesn't just jump up and grab the milk, start licking the milk. It waits till you leave the kitchen, and then it jumps up. Of course, here we don't keep cats, but in the West, they keep a cat as a pet. So their cat is intelligent. He's waiting till you leave the kitchen, then he's jumping. That's intelligence. But it's intelligence directed just to eating. So the human being also, he directs his intelligence, how to eat better, how to sleep better, how to get better sex life. They're investing millions of dollars in some drug for improving sex life. Requires so much intelligence, big scientific. And what is the goal? Sex. Which is available for the animals. They're making so many big arrangements, clubs and this and that, movies, all for the animal propensities. This is misuse of intelligence. So then the result of their good intelligence is that they leave the body thinking of whatever it was that they were thinking of during their life, and then they have to take a corresponding body accordingly, perhaps in a lower species of life, and miss the chance of human intelligence. So surrendering to Krishna is intelligent. Gyanavan mam prapadyate. The intelligent person who really has knowledge surrenders to Krishna. Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, Vasudeva, is the ultimate goal. So when someone surrenders to Vasudeva, he's the most intelligent. Yajantihi Sumedhasa, those who are intelligent, will take up chanting of Hare Krishna. And intelligence means analytical power. In third canto, Lord Kapildev explains all of these different elements: earth, water, fire, air, and up to mind, intelligence, false ego. And he differentiates between them, by analyzing their properties. So we analyze the difference between a microphone and a tape recorder by seeing their different functions, by seeing their properties. Otherwise, how do you know it's not the same thing? No, because this works this way, this works that way. The washing machine and the drying machine, they look like the same thing. But then when you analyze how they're functioning, then you understand, well, this one washes and this one dries. So the mind and intelligence work, they have different properties. The function of the mind is accepting and rejecting. We accept something and reject something. This is the mental function. Sankalpa vikalpa. And generally, the thing about the mind is the mind is not very fixed. So it goes back and forth. I like it, I don't like it. That I'd like to buy that item. No, I don't think I want it. Well, but it's... No, I don't know. The mind is going this way. Mano retain asati tabatobi. The mind is like an unchaste woman. I like this man. Well, I don't like him. I like that man. Going this way and that way. So, the mind is, therefore, chanchan, fickle. The mind is by nature fickle. When a person is on the mental platform, he's going this way, this way, this way, this way. But the intelligence analyzes. The intelligence says, is that item useful? Is it needed? Can I afford it? Is the price proper? Is there a better item someplace else? Considers all the different, will it last? Is it durable? Do I have a place for it? In so many ways, analyzing. And on the basis of so much analysis, one makes a decision. Yes, this is, I'm going to buy this. Or no, I'm not going to buy it. It's too costly. They're coming out with a better model and every 2 months I'll wait. But it's an intelligent decision. When it's done with the intelligence, it becomes fixed. The mind says, wait a second, why didn't you buy that? Intelligence says, this reason, this reason, this reason, this reason. The mind is saying, come on, let's... Or the mind is saying, no, this. But the intelligence has reasons. We've analyzed the matter and we've decided, get out of my way. Fall in line. When we... intelligent decision is fixed. Therefore, one should use one's intelligence to understand Krishna. Why do we have so many books? We know the conclusion, surrender to Krishna. But just to engage the intelligence, so many arguments are given. Why does Krishna have to argue with Arjuna? Listen, buddy, just surrender. But Arjuna is intelligent, he wants, why should I surrender? And what about this? And what about that? And what about this? Therefore, with so much reason and argument, for those who are very intelligent, Brahma Sutra Padaischaiva Hetumadvir Vinishtita. The Brahma Sutra is presented with all intelligent arguments about cause and effect. And the full commentary on Brahma Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam, which begins with the same point. Janmar yasya iton bayad itiratas karteshvili. So Srimad Bhagavatam, the people are thinking Krishna Leela is something sentimental. But the science of Krishna is presented by Sukadeva Goswami very systematically, with so much philosophical background, so that our intelligence will be engaged. By intelligence will be engaged. In this. By intelligence we'll see. And why should I remain on this bodily platform and be kicked around by Maya like a dog? Why should I be dragged around by an uncontrolled mind and senses? Why should I not surrender to Krishna? This way, this way, this way, this way. So the intelligence, there's sufficient subject matter. And intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul. After intelligence, we come to ego and soul. But when the intelligence is engaged in the service of Krishna, one remains. It's like sometimes you find that someone comes into the association of devotees. He thinks, this is so nice, this is so good, this is lovely, this is great, I'm just, oh, such a... And then the next 2 days later, he's gone. Because he was on the mental platform. On the platform of the mind, it was wonderful. And 2 days later, something else was wonderful. And by the weekend, it'll be a third thing that's wonderful. It's not fixed. But when one takes up the study of Krishna consciousness, hears about the science of Krishna, engages his intelligence, then he becomes steady. And even when something is apparently, oh, I could do this, I could do that, wait a second, that's Maya. Because now he's intelligent. He can discriminate. He can discriminate. What is that? Vejam vastavam atra vastu shivaram tapatrayam. He can discriminate between what is a fact and what is not a fact. it can discriminate between matter and spirit, between the body and the consciousness within the body, between the eternal and temporary. Now he has discrimination. That's intelligence. So even when there's some cause for jumping off the ship, he thinks, no, I'll stay on the ship of Krishna consciousness. Yam labdva chapram labha manyate nadikam tata yasmin tato dukkhen purunapi vichalita. He becomes experienced. His intelligence becomes fortified by transcendental experience. And therefore, even amidst the greatest causes of unhappiness, he remains transcendentally situated. Another meaning of engaging the intelligence is that we have so much to do for Krishna. So the spiritual master engages the disciples in practical activities for Krishna's service, in which the intelligence has to be employed, in which the mind has to be employed, in which the senses have to be employed. Senses also can't be nahikaschit kanamapi jajitistachikarmakit. The senses can't be idle. They want to do something. So the art of Krishna consciousness is rishikena rishikeshasena. Engaging our senses to satisfy the senses of Krishna. So how do we do that? There has to be some practical activity. That requires the use of our senses, that requires use of our intelligence. The spiritual master says, preach Krishna consciousness. Distribute books. Teach people about Krishna. So that's a general instruction. Now how do I do that? How do I get someone? I have the books sitting here in the ashram or in the warehouse. Now how do I get someone to take those books? First of all, how do I get those books here? Now, how do I get those books into someone's hands? Here you may have to think, how do I not put the books in the wrong hands also? That requires intelligence. Every place in America you have to think one way, how to distribute the books. Here you have to think a different way, how to distribute the books. It all requires intelligence. Keep track of the cash requires intelligence. To carry out all the missionary activities requires intelligence. Even to clean the temple requires intelligence. That, all right, I'll start here, and zone by zone, I'll clean till I reach the other side, and then I'll be done. Not helter-skelter. Everything that we have to do requires proper use of intelligence. Of course, Prabhupada told one devotee, he said, use your intelligence, and if you don't, it's some question, he said, use your intelligence, and if you don't have any, then ask someone who does. But anyway, it's assumed that generally we have some sort of intelligence. So that should be used. Always thinking, a pure devotee is always thinking, how to bring people to Krishna consciousness, how to establish what the Lord Chaitanya desired, what Krishna desired. Sri Chaitanya manavistam sthapitam vena bhuti. The Goswamis were very intelligent. They were systematically making programs for establishing Sattdharma samsthapana, establishing Krishna consciousness. The intelligence shouldn't be wasted on simply where is money, where is money, where is money, or how to spend money, how to spend money, how to improve our material existence. More profitably, the intelligence can be used for thinking of plans for pleasing Krishna. Of course, intelligently I should think that my household establishment is also Krishna's. I have to see to it intelligently, not negligently. But there's more than we can do for that. Anyway, every affair, we should do it intelligently for Krishna. Arpita means offered. The mind should be offered. Intelligence should be offered. The sense activity should be offered. Manasa deha geha yoki chumor. Arpilutva apitare. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur set the example. my mind, my body, my home, Yoki Chumor, whatever I have, Arpilu Tuapadeva, I offer your lotus feet. This is the Krishna consciousness. Mayi, to offer it to Krishna. Anusmara, thinking of Krishna, and then offering the mind and intelligence to Krishna, and Yudya, acting for Krishna. It's not, Prabhupada said, armchair speculation. Activity. Yes, we're meditating on Krishna, we're thinking of Krishna, but then the result is not that we simply sit and think, we act. Just like I'm thinking of the welfare of my family. That's lovely, but you have to do something. Your wife is there in Chennai. What are you doing there in Dubai? Oh, I'm thinking of you. No, but you didn't send any money. That's all right, I'm not working, but I'm thinking of you. Hey, Baba, if you're thinking of me, send some money. So, it's practical to think of Krishna with love and then act for Krishna. Act to satisfy the desires of Krishna, the desires of the spiritual master. Maya arpita mano buddhir and mame vaishasi. The result will be that we'll come to Krishna, because whatever we think of determines our destination. If we're always acting for Krishna, thinking of Krishna, then eshasi, you'll come to me. Eva. Eva means certainly, definitely. Asamshaya. Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. It's not possibly, maybe, perhaps, theoretically, conceivably. Asamshaya. Definitely, without a doubt, you'll come to me. But this is Krishna's promise. That we simply have to be engaged in his service, body, mind, and words. And the result will be that why should we stay in this material world? Just like the fool, why should he go back to Godhead? He wants to eat, he wants to sleep, he wants to mate and defend. He wants to eat anything and everything like a hog. Why should he get a human body? Even sometimes they want to live, but sometimes they lament even. Why do I have, you know, this conscience and this, you know, intellect, everything that prevent me from living naturally? Naturally, they mean like a dog. I think the dog has it better. He has no guilt, he has no shame, he just does it, whatever he wants to do. Why can't I be like that? You can. Krishna will arrange in the next life. Your desire, your wish will be fulfilled. You take a dog's body, which will be exactly suitable to your mentality. Why should you have something else when this is what you want? Why force it on you? And the person who wants to go back to Godhead and is completely absorbed, why should he come back to this material world? His consciousness is with Krishna. He won't be happy in this material world. He's aiming that way. So we have to cultivate Krishna consciousness as indicated here, especially by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions?
Mark? is again because of past karma that a man starts thinking like this, like the way you explained.
Yes, because of past karma, one is thinking, the dog has such a fortunate life, lucky dog. It's according to the consciousness he cultivated previously. We think that everything is somehow this one life. But from Krishna consciousness, from Bhagavad Gita, we can understand. This is all cultivation. Why is a person in high school thinking a certain way? Because that's how he thought in grade school. Why is the person in college acting a certain way, thinking? Because that's the kind of, you know, habits and mentality that he formed while he was in the previous grade. Or when he's working. Well, because that's how he... before. So everything in the material world is cause and effect, cause and effect. And it's not only limited to this one lifetime. The activities of the previous lifetime, the mental investments of the previous lifetime have their payoff in this lifetime or the next. And it's described how there are different stages of reactions for past activities. They come, that's a whole subject matter. Some of them are already given the result, some are about to give the result. There's a whole, that's described in Nectar of Devotion, different stages. So on account of our previous mentality, now we're thinking this way. But Krishna consciousness means to change our mentality. By coming in touch with the superior energy of Krishna, by coming in touch with the pure devotees of Krishna and devotional service, we get the opportunity to change. And for so many lifetimes I've been doing this and it's not making me happy. It's not making me happy. I've served my senses for lifetimes. I've served the dictates of the polluted mind for lifetimes. And I'm not happy. Senses are not happy and I'm not happy. So now I'm changing my decision. Just that business, you try and you try and you try and you try. Finally you said, I'm going in the wrong direction with this business. Let's go a different way. And of course, because we don't know which way to go, sometimes we fail again and again and again. So finally when someone comes who's an expert in business, and let me analyze your business. You're doing this and this and this and this. That's why you're in difficulty. Now you do this and you'll be successful. So finally one person, intelligent person, he thinks, I failed and failed and failed and failed, now I require superior help. Let me follow this direction and make it a success. Why should I go on failing? So an intelligent person, for lifetimes I've been in this project of trying to gratify my senses, and it's a failure. The result is I'm coming back life after life after life after life and suffering. Now let me change my policy and surrender to Krishna under guidance of bona fide spiritual master. Yes?
When Lord Krishna's temple is there, there's some demigods' temple also.
Yes.
And when we visit Lord Krishna's temple and we don't visit the demigods' temple, are we committing offense if we don't visit also the obeisance there? Or that Krishna's temple and everything is taken care of?
Yes. Krishna bhakti koilo sarva karma krito hai. Shraddha shabde visvas kori sudridha nishchay. Krishna bhakti koilo sarva karma krito hai. This is faith. To have firm confidence that just by serving Krishna, I'll serve everyone. By watering the root of the tree, I'll water all the branches and leaves. Lord Shiva won't say, what about me? Why are you worshipping Krishna? Durga or Ganesh, they won't say, what about me? Kartikeya won't say, what about me? They're all getting everything because they're part and parcel of Krishna. On the other hand, there's also no harm if we offer our respect to the various demigods, understanding that they're servants of Krishna. Especially when they're at Krishna's temple. Krishna's temple is there, other demigods are there. We may offer our respects. We offer our respect to all the devotees. Why not the demigods? But our offering respect is different. Materialists are offering respect to the demigods, thinking that any god is the same. And they're materially motivated. So they're praying to the demigod, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. So we have a different policy. The gopis were also worshipping the demigods. They were worshipping Katyayani, Durga. So does it mean they were demigod worshippers? Yes. But what was their worship? Dear goddess, please let us be engaged in the service of Krishna. You are very dear to Krishna. Shristi stati pralaya sadhana shakti reka shayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharti durga. It's chanu rupam api yasya chitesti. You're always carrying out the wishes, desire of the Lord. So you're very dear to the Lord. Please give us your blessing so that we can have Krishna as our husband. Please let us be engaged as the servants of Krishna. But with that spirit, if we offer our respect to the demigods, that's all. Lord Chaitanya was doing, he was going to the temples of the demigods also and offering respect. But his real target was Krishna. Yes.
Could you explain fate and destiny?
And destiny are the same. They're synonymous terms. Destiny means the results of your previous activities. You drive, you get on the highway and you drive on certain such direction, it's your destiny that you'll reach whatever it is that the highway is going to. Probably you get on the road at a certain time, it's your destiny. You'll be stuck in traffic for 2 hours. So, on account of our previous activities, there's some results. I wasted my time. Now I have no standing. And some other child was studying very nicely. Now he's passed the exam. It was his destiny. He studied, so he passed the exam. And I didn't study, I wasted time, now I failed the exam. Of course, it's not simply by studying, but also there's a previous background. One child, even without studying, he passes the exam on the strength of his previous pious activities. And the other child studies and studies and studies, he can't get anywhere. It's the background. But destiny is like a synonym for what we've done in the past. Man is the architect of his own fortune. Or another meaning of destiny is the hand of the Lord. Daiva. Daiva means divine power. Krishna. That finally it's up to Krishna. It's not in my hand. I may study and study and study and fail. Or I may not study and get everything. It's not that simply by working one gets the result. It's finally up to Krishna. Finally it's up to Krishna. Daiva chaiva tripanchama. Adhisthanam tathakarta karanam cha pratagvidha vividascha pratagchesta daiva sarvatra panchama. These are the factors that bring about the result of an action. Adhisthanam, the place. Karta, the person who's acting. Vividascha karanam cha pratagvidha. The different senses. You're blind, you're going to have a hard time driving. You've got very sharp eyes, you'd be very good for something that requires sharp eyes. You're skillful with your hands. A surgeon requires very steady hands. You don't want a surgeon whose hands are like that, shaking. So the different senses, they have something to do with it. and vividascha pratag cheshta, and your endeavor. Without endeavor, things don't happen. Or at least, endeavor is an important feature of making things happen. And finally, I'm in the right place. I've got the right, my senses are just fit for the activity. I'm endeavoring like anything. And still I didn't get the result. Daiva jaiva trupanchanam. Finally, everything is in the hand of Krishna. It's not simply by my endeavor, simply by having the right tools, simply by having being in the right place at the right time. It's finally up to higher authority. Therefore, if one thinks that I'm the cause, simply whatever I think I can do, I'll come. No. The higher power of destiny is there, Krishna. Yes. Haji? Loud, loud.
If Krishna resides within all of us, within our heart, as a super soul, why is it that some people are more prone towards serving Krishna than others?
Because they, their inclination is like that. Matasmitir gyanam apohanam cha. Krishna is in the heart. Anumanta upadrashtanumanta cha. He's seeing and he's allowing. Krishna sees, this person wants to do some nonsense. Alright, let's help him do it. This person wants to worship the demigod. Let me make his faith steady so that he can worship that demigod. This person wants to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Alright. It's according to our free will, exercise of free will. Krishna's reciprocating. Is that okay? But sometimes we're mixed. That I want to serve Krishna, but I also kind of don't want to serve Krishna. I have some other plan in mind. But then there's conflict. So then there are different things that we can do to try to turn things in the Krishna direction. Especially by association. You know, I want to do some nonsense, but my friends say, come on, what do you want to do a stupid thing like that for? Let's go. Or if we have bad association, they pull us the other way. So by good association, by sadhana, no, I don't have time for this, I have to chant my rounds. Sorry, I don't have time for this nonsense. By chanting Hare Krishna so that the heart becomes purified and the junk gets kicked out. Are there different anukulyasya, sankalpa? Everything that will help us, we should accept. And pratikulyasya, bhargasya. Everything unfavorable, reject. Prabhupada quoted, God helps those who help themselves. Yes.
In our earlier discussion, we said that a lot of times our whatever action we do today is based on our past karma. So if all the actions which are happening today are purely based on past karma, how does the concept of free will come in here?
Yes. You have, say by free will I've come to Dubai. That doesn't mean my choices are finished. I can choose to do business in Dubai. I can choose to go on holiday in Dubai. I can choose to forget it and go back to America. I can choose to go from Dubai to some other country. It's not that now that I'm here, I can't. All my choices are gone. Or by choice, we get ourselves in a jam. You take the wrong turn, and now you're in traffic, like anything. So it doesn't mean you're doomed. Either you can say, "All right, I'll just be patient and I'll get there." Or you can say, "I'm going to turn off here and not spend the next 4 hours in traffic. Maybe I'll just turn around and go back, say better to stay home, it's useless." I didn't really need to go there anyway. It's Krishna's arrangement. Your choice, not that now you have no freedom. Therefore, Prabhupada used that expression to make the best use of a bad bargain. Even if by our karma we've got a bad bargain, we should make the best of it. And if we got a good bargain, then we should take advantage of it. Of course, good or bad in the material world, it's all bad, but therefore we have to make the best use of it. Yes?
Excuse me. I have a friend. She's a Catholic. And her mother is into this Krishna consciousness. She's very much a devotee of Lord Krishna. And she says whenever she's with her mother, she also gets totally devoted to Lord Krishna. And she goes to even the church because she's a Catholic. So today she was saying that she's very confused. Means which should she follow, whether Jesus Christ or...
Why is there a conflict? Jesus says to love my father. And Krishna is the father of all living entities. He says, love me. So where's the conflict? It's the same thing. Jesus is saying to love God. And Krishna is saying, I'm God, love me. So there's not a conflict. It's only an apparent conflict. Maybe we're thinking that Krishna is the Hindu God. Now there's a Catholic God and a Hindu God and a Jewish God and a Muslim God. But there's not. God is one. But we have no information or poor fund of knowledge. Jesus is saying, surrender to God. Well, all right, who's God? So Krishna comes and says, I'm God. Prabhupada said, if you have a better candidate, bring him forward. Otherwise, why not accept Krishna? Yes.
Those who follow different sampradayas, do they all attain Bhagavan realization?
Those who follow different sampradayas, do they all attain Bhagavan realization? If they're following the Vaishnava sampradayas, Vishnu Swami sampradaya, Madhvacharya sampradaya, Ramanuja sampradaya, Nimbarkacharya sampradaya, these are all Vaishnava sampradayas, so their destination is Vishnu, Bhagavan. And Shankaracharya sampradaya, they're in a different, going in a different direction.
They will all get Bhagavan.
Yeah, Vaishnav means Bhagavan, Vishnu. Vishnu is the personality of God. So the target is Bhagavan. I was just in a function in New Jersey, which was organized by the Ramanuja Sampradaya. And they did the children did a play. And the play was so heavy against any kind of, you know, demigod worship, Mayavad. Because Ramanuja Acharya was very strong on this. Bhagavan. The target is Bhagavan. Similarly, Madhvacharya. The Mayavadis are saying it's all one. Madhvacharya is saying no. There's a living entity and there's God. They're different. Not the same. So they're all teaching the supremacy of the personality of Godhead, and they're all teaching devotional service as the method of reaching that personality. So the target is Bhagavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering the members of all sampradayas the best opportunity to attain that destination. Kirtanadeva Krishnasi Mukta Sangha Param.
Yes.
Lord Narayan and Krishna the same? Yes, Narayan is Krishna. Krishna is the original Narayan.
Krishna is the expansion of Lord Krishna.
Yes.
If Lord Krishna is the supreme, then why Narayan is not taking Krishna's name, saying Narayan, Narayan?
Because you're seeing the videos, and in the videos... That's how it is. Otherwise, this Hare Krishna mantra is delivered to us by Narad Muni. Narad Muni Bhajai Bina Radhika Ramana. All right, should we stop here? Yes.
Who was born in good sampradaya, right? Sri Vishnu sampradaya, sampradaya.
Huh?
If they go to bogus guru, do they affect their karma?
Pardon?
Nowadays, there are bogus gurus, there are so many gurus, so there are people they are attracting that guru. They are going and taking initiation and all this in ceremony. They are born in very good culture, that is Sri sampradaya or Vishnu sampradaya, like that.
They are taking initiation from some bogus, you mean in the sampradaya?
They are in Sri Sampradaya, they are in Matuas, are like that. In so many South Indians, they are going to like that guru. They are taking initiation in that culture, and they are following the same that culture.
So why do you say bogus?
Bogus guru, they are not in parampara like that. They are going for weekly programs and that thing. They are.
No, if they're not in the parampara, that means they're not in the Sampradaya. Sampradaya means parampara. Not that simply someone puts on, you know, Ramanuja Tilak or some Tilak of the Sampradaya and says, now I'm Sampradayak. Sampradaya means evam parampara praptam. That's bona fide. Otherwise, Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishpalamata. If we don't receive the mantra through the Sampradaya, we won't get the result. Does that answer the question? Therefore, we have to approach the bona fide spiritual master. Evam parampara prapta. All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.